everybody, and welcome back to this week's edition of the Waterboy Experience. I am your host, the Waterboy himself, Davis McLemore. We got a lot of crazy shit to talk about. We got Formula One drama, nothing about the race, but it's just a bunch of drama. We got the NFL trades and all that different kind of stuff happening. So we're going to try to get to all of this, but we might not. But here to help me try to get to all of this is my good buddy, the CEO and CFO of Nye Productions, the Red Bull chugging son of a gun. He's the Susie Wolf of podcasting, Mr. Jason Chaddix. Jason, how are you?
I have no idea what that even means.
Neither do I, but you're the Susie Wolf of podcasting.
Then I'm married to a hunk of an Australian. Okay. I mean, Austrian.
Austrian.
We're going to Australia this week, though.
We are? What are we? You didn't tell me this.
Yes, we're going to Australia. We're going to watch the race at midnight.
Holy, okay. Fine. So just let me, you know, figure some things out over here and I'll, you know, we'll be able to head on over there.
I already bought the plane tickets.
Oh, do they have an Outback Steakhouse over there?
Actually, no. It's Outback is an American thing.
Then I'm not interested. But anyway, we're going to try to get to...
Oh, hold on a second. But have you ever had kangaroo meat?
No.
We're going to eat some Joey.
Who would eat kangaroo?
I don't know. Who eats gator? Who eats chicken gizzard?
A lot of people eat chicken gizzards. And just like that, one of the cats fell in the toilet.
You know, let's not even
acknowledge that.
Dumb Rammy.
But kangaroo meat? People actually eat that?
I'm sure they do. They got ostriches.
Do they eat koalas?
No, because a lot of them carry chlamydia.
Oh. Well, a lot of Australians carry chlamydia too.
Well, they look like you.
Yeah, that's fair. But I also hear that like ostrich eggs are like supposed to be like really, really good for you.
They probably are. They're fucking humongous. Although they got emus over there. I don't know what the difference is between an emu and an ostrich. They look like giant chickens.
Ostrich is just a bigger emu. And emus are actually meaner than ostriches.
Well, before we continue with the motorsport, before we start with the motorsport, did you know that the Australians actually lost a war against the emus? The emus won the Australian war.
What are you talking about? Are you serious?
Yes. Like quite literally.
They declared war on emus?
And they lost. The Australians lost.
Emus are fucking badass, man.
I know, right?
Australia's full of, like, weird fucking animals, but they're all, like, I think, like, all of them could kill you.
Well, speaking of weird animals who can kill you, Max Verstappen is going to dominate this weekend in Australia.
Oh, yeah.
I don't see anybody else but Max winning.
Have we seen any indication, even going back to last year, have we seen any indication throughout the past several races that it's going to be anything other than that?
No.
Max Verstappen will continue his dominance.
Hand him the championship right now.
Just go ahead.
You know, he hasn't lost a single race in Singapore last year.
What month was that?
October.
October of last year.
Yes.
Wow.
So Max is probably like 10 races in without losing, give or take.
It's fucking insane. Do you think he's going to break his own record for the most wins in a season this year?
Look, it's scary enough to say this, but I think Max Verstappen might actually win every single race this year. He's going to want Singapore. He's not going to let Singapore.
It's not ridiculous to say that at all.
No, this year he's more dominant.
The only hope would be that he crashes out.
But he won't. He hasn't crashed in 2021.
Yeah.
But let's move on from Max winning, which, by the way, spoiler for next week's episode, Max is winning. Yay.
Just go ahead and if you got money to put on it, put money on it.
Look, just hand him the world championship at this point. Nobody could catch him.
But now if you put all your money on Max Verstappen and fucking Esteban Ocon wins, don't come crying to me.
If Esteban Ocon wins, that means 19 other drivers DNF'd.
No, that's if Nico Hülkenberg wins. Or Logan Sargeant.
Okay, it's more Logan Sargeant.
Yeah, Logan Sargeant. But Logan Sargeant would be the one to DNF, even if he had the...
Logan Sargeant is a type of person who would just run into everybody. He would cause a crash.
And let's clear the air. We love our American boy.
No, we don't.
Ooh, Rob, what the fuck is a kilometer? I love him. But just because he's American, he's a terrible fucking F1 driver.
Oh, he is.
But I love him.
I don't.
God bless America.
Well, speaking of William, since we're on the subject of Logan Sargeant, did you hear the things that are coming out about Williams?
I did not. What specifically are you talking about?
So James Bowles touched on this during the Saudi Arabian Grand Prix, and then the race did an interview with them and with Williams, and they did a big video basically explaining what's been going on with Williams. And it turns out one of the reasons why Williams has been at the back foot this year compared to last year is because they spent so much time fixing the fundamental issues of the team during the winter break that they had to give away some performance gain. And what I mean by that is the team, as James Bowles described it, is being run by an Excel spreadsheet.
Spreadsheet.
Yep.
Their team principal is an Excel spreadsheet.
No. The team has, since 2000s, the team started to use more and more technology to do inventory, to know like this. There's like 20,000 parts in a Formula One car. Where that part is at, if they need new parts, blah, 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 blah. Basically, they need to know a bunch of this stuff. They need to do inventory, basically. And the way that they were doing inventory was so archaic that he said, we had people running around the factory looking for a specific part because we didn't know where it was.
What?
He said, I think it was him or one of the other, the guy below him, the technical director who was in Formula One since the 2000s. He's like, I haven't seen shit like this since the 2000s. This is not good. This team is being run 20 years behind.
They're stuck, you know, with fucking, like,
basically, they're stuck with the PlayStation 2 era.
No, they're playing on a GameCube. That's what they're doing.
Oh, don't shit on the GameCube.
Nah, I love the GameCube, but...
But it's more like everybody's on, like, an actual console, and then they're on the Nintendo Switch. I think that's a more accurate representation of it. But they were talking about how they were spending so much time just fixing everything that he said, we didn't get some of the first parts until the morning of preseason testing.
That's,
but
who's running this team?
Well, Frank Williams was running that team for almost 20 years.
God, but he's more focused on like NASCAR, right?
No. You're thinking of somebody else. No, Frank Williams.
I'm thinking
is dead.
Of Haas.
Yes, you're thinking of Haas. Frank Williams is dead.
Oh, so is the team.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
No, but he's, to put it into perspective, Frank Williams ran the team in the 2000s and the 2010s. Like Al Davis ran the Raiders at the later stage.
So hiring convicts and trying to give them a second chance and then they go back to jail?
No, just running a shitty team.
Oh, okay.
And making decisions that baffles people.
So more like Jerry Jones.
Yeah, but they're not that covenant.
Okay.
So
makes sense.
So they were dealing with a lot of that shit, and he said, I'd rather have the headache right now than have it in the future. So they sacrificed the time they could have spent on performing on making the car better, on doing like adjustments and stuff like that. And they're like, we're going to fix the fundamentals issues that is plaguing this team and that it has this team back 20 years and bringing them now. And then we're going to suffer right now so that we can get the car better and we can just fix this issue and we don't have this issue going forward.
Okay. I think that makes sense.
But that's going on with Williams, and it makes sense. I've heard rumors about that happening for a long time. He says we won't really see any big upgrades until I think we get into the European circuits. That's when we'll see the big upgrades for Williams.
Okay. Well, didn't the study come out last year? Or I guess it wasn't a study. It was a report that like their cost capacity that they were spending was like less than half of what the other teams were spending?
Honestly, I don't remember who that was for, because that could have also been Haas.
No. That was Williams. And like, you know, the team principal or the race director or whatever, he basically explained like, yeah, we're working with this. All the other teams get this.
Oh, yes. I think it was them. Yeah, it was just like antique materials and stuff like that. Apparently, the employees had to pull all-nighters. Like, there were people who were sleeping at the factory to get the job done so that the car would be ready for preseason testing and for Bahrain.
Well, I don't see them improving at all throughout the year.
I think we'll see improvement. They just really need to fix a lot of the fundamental issues because they're a really small team in comparison.
They need more funding. A lot.
Well, they're getting a lot more funding, but the problem is a lot of this stuff costs hundreds of millions of dollars. And you got to think about it. They're trying to get ready for 26. Everybody else pretty much has their fundamental issues solved 10 years, 15 years ago.
Well, not every team has had their issues solved 15 years ago.
No, and I know what you're talking about, but let's go on to Renault.
Ooh.
So, rumor going around is that Renault is thinking about selling the team. And they're thinking about staying on as a power unit manufacturer, basically an engine maker, and just pulling out their funding from the team. And they're putting the team up for sale, and they basically want to sell it to Andretti.
Wow. Okay.
Makes sense.
Makes perfect sense.
That team has been run like shit. There is no hope there. And just, this team is shit. That's the best
way. Give it to somebody else.
Give it to Andretti.
Yeah.
Now, in other news, Audi has announced that they're going to 100% own Sauber by the end of this year. So by 2025, it's actually going to be owned by Audi. I think they're going to keep the Sauber and the stake name and all that, but they're basically pushing forward to spend more money and to get the fundamentals ready for the car for 26. Because even though the aero, the shape of the car and the aero is changing somewhat, and it's going to be bigger regulations compared to right now, they still need a really strong fundamental in order to go into 2026. So they're just going to have to push ahead and try to make next year's car the best car they can.
Well, good luck to them.
Hopefully. Now let's get on to Susie Wolf.
Well, what about the Saudis? The news about the Saudis.
Oh, that's right. Aramco is thinking about buying Aston Martin. And the rumor is they want Max Verstappen and Adrian Newey on the team.
That's fucking ridiculous.
It is fucking ridiculous. I don't know how much credibility there is to it, but it also says, okay, what's going on with Lance Stroll. The Strolls and Aston Martin, because he owns Aston Martin. Like, what's going on right there?
Are the Strolls going to take a stroll?
Hopefully.
For the Saudis?
Hopefully. I mean, I don't know how I feel about the Saudis owning the team, and it's just going to be turning into one giant propaganda ship, and it's just going to bleh. But hey, at least it'll throw stupid, crazy money at the team. That's a good thing.
Oh, yeah.
But there's also going to be the controversy of it, like, oh, the Saudis own the team. Well, you know, the Saudis aren't exactly having the greatest of reputations.
You've also got the Saudi Arabia Grand Prix and all that kind of stuff. That's where it gets a little messy.
It does. All right, now we can move on to the
Susie Wolf. Can move on to Susie Wolf.
Basically, Susie Wolf is filing a criminal complaint against the FIA for the allegations made against her last season, which is earlier this year. And you know what? I agree with Susie because people gave her so much fucking shit.
Yeah, remind me, what were the allegations?
She's the leader of the Formula Academy thing. And apparently she was part of the Formula One something thing. And she overheard stuff that she shouldn't have heard. And she was going to tell Toto some bullshit like that. And I think we said at the time that it's a bullshit thing to get her on. And a lot of people are pointing out to the fact, like, well, a lot of fans gave Susie Wolf a lot of shit when there was no evidence of there being any conflict of interest. And they said, well, look at Christian Horner. A lot of people didn't give him shit. A lot of people said, let's wait until the facts. They didn't wait until the facts with Susie, so.
Do you think this has anything to do with Toto Wolff being mad at the FIA or the Formula One?
They're both mad at them.
Oh, yeah.
They both won. Whoever was the whistleblower, not the whistleblower, but somebody who gave the false information to them.
Crazy scenario.
But now the president of the FIA, Ben Sulami, whatever his name is.
Ben Salami?
You made that exact same joke 2 weeks ago.
I know, and then I realized how funny it was, so I'm going to keep doing it.
All right. Anyway, the FIA found that he was cleared of any intervention or any bad doings on his part.
Oh, good for Salami. So they just kind of, you know, they dismissed it. They were like, yeah, he...
We didn't find anything. They interviewed like 11 people and they found that he didn't, basically what they're alleging is, well, whistleblower is alleging is that he tried to reverse the steward's decisions on a penalty for Fernando Alonso at the Saudi Arabian Grand Prix. And I think he was pro Fernando and Fernando still got the penalty. And then he tried to cancel the Las Vegas Grand Prix.
Why?
That's an excellent question, Sheldon.
Which, honestly, he should have. Love Las Vegas. That's the home of my team, but that was a shit show of a race, wasn't it?
Well, the race itself was actually pretty damn good, but everything about the build-up to that race was the drizzling shits.
Yeah. But, I mean, you say he's pro-Alonso. Who isn't pro-Alonso? I'd be rooting for him if I was the boss of Formula One, but it is what it is.
So that's what's going on in the world of motorsport. We had, I think, the 12 hours of Sebring this past week in the IMSA, which is the American equivalent of the World Endurance Championship.
I didn't know we had that.
Yeah, we do. They're going to race in Long Beach next week, or like the next time they race, they're going to race in Long Beach.
Long Beach, Florida?
Either Florida or California.
There's also a Long Beach, Mississippi.
No, it's not there.
It's not there. There's nothing there.
No. Why? Who would come to Mississippi?
For the endurance part of the race is just seeing how long you could just stay there.
Oh my God, I feel my IQ points dropping by the second.
So.
Acura won. Anyway, that was my motorsport news. Nothing but a slow week this week. So right now I'm going to hand it off to the water boy and let's talk about what he calls the robbery of the decade.
Yes. Wow. Okay. And it's weird that it's coming from Chicago because, you know, Chicago is a terrible place to live because of robbery and all that kind of stuff. The Chicago Bears got robbed in broad daylight in front of everyone, and everyone saw it, by the Pittsburgh Steelers.
I wholeheartedly disagree.
And the Denver Broncos got robbed, but, you know, that's, you know, is it really robbery if you take one chair or a chair with a broken leg, you know?
I mean, is it really robbery when you didn't even try to give them away? You're just like, all right, I'm going to cut them. You're gone. Bye. Hope to never see you. Let the good Lord hit you on the way out.
That's true. But basically what happened is we talked about the Russell Wilson trade. Russell Wilson will only be paid
$1
million. $1.83 million. It's just, you know, dirt cheap. I think I've seen houses for cheaper than that around here for 1 year salary. Or not cheaper, but, you know, I think I've seen houses more expensive. You know what I mean?
Boy, you butcher that.
And the Denver Broncos are going to be paying him, fuck, 30-something?
$38 million.
$38 million.
To not play for the Denver Broncos.
Oh, yeah. So, what's happening here is the Pittsburgh Steelers... not free, but essentially they have one free year of Russell Wilson. Now, what if, in the likely scenario, Russell Wilson does not work out?
One free year of Russell Wilson?
You're paying him next to nothing, $1.83 million. You essentially are, he's on your team and you're paying him to play for nothing. So, in the scenario that Russell Wilson does not work out on the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Which is more than likely going to happen.
More than likely.
Whether it's him not living up to the expectations expected of him on the field or him just being a drama queen backstage.
What's your backup plan? They woke up and they said, well, I know a backup plan. They traded to the Chicago Bears a 6th round pick.
With the possibility of turning it into a 4th round pick.
Depending on how he plays. To get Justin Fields. Now, you've shit on Justin Fields in the past.
No, I haven't.
You have. Openly. You have been very open about how you think he's the drizzling shits.
Well, I didn't openly shit on him. I did like Vince McMahon, and behind closed doors, I took a giant shit on his head.
That's fair. Okay, whatever. So, let me put it this way. You got Russell Wilson for $1 million.
Yep.
If he does not work out, you don't lose anything. Get rid of him.
That's true.
You put in Justin Fields. And for Justin Fields, you got him for nothing but a 6th-round pick. And if he's good, you got him for a 4th-round pick. Still next to nothing.
Yeah.
It's genius.
It is.
It's fucking brilliant. But also, if Russell Wilson still has it, if he still has potential to be good in any possible scenario, you have just applied pressure for him to be at his best by putting a young quarterback right behind him, a young promising quarterback. So he can either show up or shut up. If he doesn't play, we're packing, pack your bags, go back to fucking Seattle. We're putting in Justin Fields. If he can play, great. You're playing him next to nothing to play great. Whatever. I think the whole move is genius.
And you also got to think about this. If Russell Wilson pans out, well, you know what? They don't have to pay Justin Fields. They could trade him and get more out of him than they gave the Bears, because they could be like, hey, Carolina, I see you need a really good quarterback. I got Justin Fields. All I need, give me a 2nd-round pick. You know, give me a couple good players. Send him give me some over. Money. I don't know. You know, what's your best offer?
The other scenario is, if Russell Wilson works out, let Justin Fields sit behind him for a few years. And when Russell Wilson inevitably decides to retire, just shove Justin Fields in there and let him take over. That's what I think that they should do with him. But also, Justin Fields does still have trade value. So if you wanted to trade for a higher pick, draft another quarterback that's younger, you could. Many options here. So I don't know. I think this is great. Worst case scenario, neither one of them work, but you didn't lose anything for either one. So start from scratch, which is fucking Kenny Pickett. Actually, Kenny Pickett's not on the Steelers anymore, I don't think.
I think he was sent to free agency.
Something like that. He wanted out after the Russell Wilson trade. He was like, no, I don't want to play on the same team as this guy. I'm fucking out.
I think it's going to fail regardless of who they put behind there, because the coaching is the shit. They got Arthur Smith. Let's not forget that. But at the same time, Russell Wilson is the drizzling shits. I will stand behind that statement.
You can stand behind that, and I'll stand behind it with you. He's the drizzling shits right now.
But Justin Fields is just as much the drizzling shit.
Justin Fields is a better quarterback than Russell Wilson right now.
If that's the case, why did the Bears trade him to the Pittsburgh? Why?
You can say the same thing. Why did Russell... They both got traded.
No. You can't say... It's not the same thing, Davis.
They both got traded.
No.
It's the same thing.
No.
Here's Justin the thing. Fields didn't want to be in Chicago.
No. Hear me out. Russell Wilson got cut because he was the drizzling shit.
No. He got traded.
Oh, he got traded. He got... Well, technically, he got cut from the Broncos by being traded.
Asked to leave, yeah.
He got nicely asked to leave. But look at this. He got asked to leave. They gave almost next to nothing for him. I don't think a lot of people were banging on his door asking for him to play with them. What about Justin Fields? Supposedly the Raiders wanted him.
There was about 6 offers on the table for Justin Fields. And
why did they take the lowest offer, though? That's the question.
Who says that that was the lowest offer? But also,
well, you're bitching.
What they were saying, what the Pittsburgh Steelers said, and this is basically a fancy way of saying they let Justin Fields pick where he wants to go, is they said that they picked the best option that they felt would be player beneficial, not necessarily beneficial to the team, but more player beneficial. They thought him going to the Steelers would be more beneficial than going anywhere else. I don't know why, but okay.
I think that's a load of horse shit. I think they just wanted him gone.
They told him, pick a place. These are the offers that have come in. Pick a place, go there. And he went.
But I mean, wouldn't he want to go with the Raiders instead?
Unless, you know, I don't know.
Because you said
the Raiders might not have put an offer in for him.
But the rumors were there.
Oh, rumors are everywhere. Rumors are Tom Brady's going to come out of retirement. Is there anything to it? I don't know.
Well, with Brady, there's a possibility.
There's always a possibility of fucking Brady, but you know.
Comes out of retirement, they put him as the quarterback for the Raiders.
Rumor has it Johnny Unitas is back from the fucking dead to go play quarterback for the fucking Colts.
Fair enough. I still think it's a bad idea to get him as a backup.
Well, it's either that or Kenny Pickett.
Can I get a UFL guy?
Who?
I don't know. Whoever is the top UFL guy.
Just go pick one.
Pick one.
But
he could be red. He could be blue. He could be purple. He could be pink.
I'm clearly much more optimistic about this than you are. I'm not saying it's going to work out for the better, but if neither one works out, you didn't pay shit for either one. Then comes worst case scenario, tank for the rest of the season and go get you a better quarterback in the draft. But
I'd still not get him. I'd rather just forfeit the season. Might as well.
Pittsburgh should have done that a long time ago, by the way.
Yes, they really should have. All right, we got any other news? Or is this going to be a really slow week?
Well, Aaron Donald retired. Famous defensive tackle, defensive end, defensive lineman, general for the Rams. Hall of Fame career. He got his ring. He's accomplished all he wanted to. Multiple-time defensive player of the year. Congratulations, Aaron.
Yeah. I mean, we kind of saw the writing on the wall with him.
Yeah.
During the Rams versus Lions review, we talked about the fact that you really don't hear a lot about him. And quite honestly, I think past his prime.
Yeah. Tail end of his career, he was slowing down. He didn't feel the same way. So, and it's weird that we lost the best offensive lineman in the league and the best defensive lineman in the league, or one of the best defensive linemen in the league. Max Crosby still exists. We lost those guys in the same month.
Shit happens.
They were both old. They just retired. I don't have much else other than, you know, there was a funny tweet sent out by Skip Bayless. You know, Skip Bayless does the big show.
By the way, breaking news. Well, it's not breaking news, but Lions corner Cam Sutton has a warrant out for his arrest for aggravated battery.
Cam Sutton. Oh, shit. That ain't good.
Regarding a domestic incident involving him.
Him and who?
That's all it
just
says.
Just him.
That's all it says.
Well, I hope they get him. That son of a bitch.
Didn't we just get a new corner? Think so.
Yeah, y'all got him from us.
Oh, that's right. Thank you for that, by the way.
Oh, you're welcome. No problem. So Skip Bayless, he hosts, you know, one of the big shows over there on ESPN. I don't know what the fuck they're doing on ESPN. But he sent out a tweet the other day. And it said, all in my ass.
Ha, 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 ha.
Do you know what he was talking about?
No, I really don't care.
You don't really don't?
I really don't care.
You don't really get the joke, do you?
No, I don't get the fucking joke.
He said, all in my ass.
Okay.
Just out of nowhere.
Okay, look.
Never mind.
Right now, it's not panky time with your wife.
Well, other than that, if you don't find that fucking funny, then I guess I'm just going to shut this funny show down.
Thank God we've been dying for 20 minutes.
20 minutes, literally.
29.
29 minutes, yeah. Anyway.
Sign us off, white boy.
Thank you guys for this episode of The Waterboy Experience. You can follow us on TikTok, Twitter, or Instagram at The Waterboy Pod. I got nothing else to say. Thank you guys for this episode of The Waterboy Experience, and peace!
Second and goal just outside the 10. Carr jumps it in and it's Waller. He spins into the end zone for the touchdown. Watching greatness on one end in LeBron. There's a dude with 35 in white getting it done defensively and then offensively taking over.